All right. I'm going to invite you, if you have your Bibles, to open them up to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We're going to look at a couple chapters in Acts, but more just look at a really, really amazing story. Just an account from the early church and how God did some pretty awesome things, and then just kind of figure out what we can learn from it. So as we start, let me just ask you a question to kind of get you tracking with where we're going this morning. Does God still do miracles? All right. That's good. I'm glad you said that. It's a loaded question, though, isn't it? Right? Does God still heal? Does God still do signs and wonders? This is what people want to know, right? We want to know it. In fact, a lot of people that visit church or have questions about faith want to know this. Does God still, do God stuff, right? Or is he kind of dormant now and not really active in the way he used to be in the Bible? When I read scripture and I see these things, in fact, I heard a new believer read scripture one time, and then he went to his church and he's like, when do we get to do all this stuff? Because he's like, when do we get to do that? When do we get to see these powers and wonders at work? And that's the question I want to engage with us on this morning as a church body. Is we are continuing in this brand new series called Power Revealed. And this morning I want to talk to you about signs and wonders and how God's power is revealed through that. And over the next weeks we're going to be looking at how God's power is revealed in our lives and in our worlds, in our world. But today, specifically, we're talking about signs and wonders. To start, though, I think it's important for us to understand what we mean when we say God's power. Pastor Matt defined it a little bit last week for us with these kind of two words, exousia and dunamis. But the idea of power often strikes many people, including church-going people, as this kind of abstract, out there energy that God has in which he accomplishes his purposes. Like, boom, let there be light, or boom, be healed, or boom, be raised from the dead, and God just kind of displays this wow moment, right? Now, it certainly is that, but the power of God in Scripture is also something that God has imparted to us. In Ephesians 1, Paul talks about this, and he says that same power that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead is in you who believe, is in you and in me, that it is operating in us, much like our process system and in our operating system. God's power is in us. Power is not only something, as Sam Storm says, power is not only something that God has, but it's something that he gives to us. He infuses it into our DNA as believers. It can be revealed in wow factor moments, but it can also be revealed in God giving us the divine ability to endure suffering, to endure pain and sorrow and sadness with hope, with trust. These are all expressions of God's power, and it's revealed in different ways in different circumstances. And as we looked at last week with Pastor Matt's message, this should be the normative way of the Christian life. This should be the normal way that we experience God in our lives. As Jesus gives us his power should be in us. And so my question this morning, maybe you're wondering this, is, so where is it? Where is it? Do you see God's divine power at work in you? Do you see God working in your life? Do you still believe that God can heal, that God can heal emotional, physical, spiritual pain? Do you still believe God can work miraculous things and provide in miraculous ways? Do you still believe that God can give strength to the weary and patience to those who need it, no matter what the circumstances? Do you believe that? Now, just a personal confession to you before we even look at this passage. I don't claim to understand everything about how God's power works. In fact, I am probably, by no means am I an expert on the power of God, so please don't interpret this as that. I grew up thinking that in a church tradition, and I grew up thinking that God just doesn't do this kind of stuff anymore, right? chalk it up to lack of experience or chalk it up to lack of teaching on the subject, which is one of the reasons why we want to do this series, because we want us to know what exactly is the power of God. But for years of my Christian life, I'm sad to say that I'd lived in ignorance of the power of God. I'd lived in this very minimal understanding and, quite honestly, a minimal desire or even need for it. Maybe you can relate to that. And I don't really know what the power of God is or why it's evident in my life or even what it should look like. And quite honestly, that frustrates me, and it has frustrated me for years. And so if that's you, or if you're somewhere in between, let's go to the scripture this morning for our answers to God's power revealed to us in signs and wonders. Before we do that, let me pray. Father, I just pause for a second and recognize I don't know what I'm talking about without your presence, without your spirit. I can't explain and help us understand your power because it's so far beyond everything that we understand cognitively. But Lord, I pray that you would just give supernatural wisdom to us, that your power would be revealed even now in our understanding, that you would speak to me and speak through me to us, that we may understand more of you, and that God, we would leave here today knowing God's power, knowing your power more just by reading your word. Would you do that for us, Lord? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to tell you one of the most profound stories I've read in the scriptures. There's a lot of awesome ones, but this one is super cool. Just to give you a little context of Acts 3, this is the very beginning of the church. The church didn't exist before Acts 1 and 2, okay? So what you're in today, this is ground zero of when the church started. And it was crazy stuff was going on at that time. 3,000 people got saved in Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And so the church began to meet in homes, and they began to study, and they began to go to the temple to be taught and learn. And this is one of those days that they went to the temple. This is what happened. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. This was very common in that day. They put the beggars and the people that needed money. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. So when they walk in, you get it. "Look at me." He looks up. "Yeah, you got something for me?" Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. 40 years of lame ankles and knees, and now he's jumping up and down, singing and praising. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement with what happened to him. It's amazing, isn't it? What is clear in this passage and what is clear in all of Scripture, and I would submit to you what should be clear to us today in 2018, is that God has power to do signs and wonders. God has power to do signs and wonders. He can. It's in his nature. It's always been in his nature. Since the beginning of time until now, God is a signs and wonders type of God because that's who he is. He has power. In fact, this wasn't the first time that something crazy like this happened. Like I said, things like this had been happening. In fact, look back at Acts chapter 2, just a few verses before this, in Acts 2:43, it says this: "Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles." Just a few verses before our text. So it wasn't like this random one-time event in Acts chapter 3 where Peter heals this lame guy. No, this was normal. This was happening a lot in that day, and God was doing pretty miraculous things, healing people, and they were seeing some amazing stuff, and the people were unbelievably amazed by this. Signs and wonders are always in God's power to do. Know that. Believe it. Signs and wonders are possible because God is a God of power. But be sure that signs and wonders always are in God's timing and in God's purposes. That's important. Be sure to know that they always happen for a reason, and they're always happening for a purpose. You might wonder, why didn't God heal this guy 40 years ago? Why did he wait 40 years to heal this guy's lame ankles? Not lame like pathetic, he was actually lame, okay? Why not? Why didn't he heal him then? Why now? As we'll see in this passage, one of the most profound revivals in church history happens. And it's amazing what God does through this one little miracle that changed one guy's life. So we'll see in a moment what he's about to do. But I think it's important to make a note of this. Pastor Matt had a great line this week, and we were in team teaching, and he said, signs and wonders always originate in the heart of God. They're always his idea. Signs and wonders always originate in the heart of God. Why is that important? Because oftentimes when we pray or ask God to do signs and wonders, it's our idea. It's our agenda. But signs and wonders always are in God's timing and in God's revelation. So when God reveals that he wants to do something, you can bet that Peter had a revelation from the Lord somehow. Because it would have been cruel for Peter to do what he did otherwise. Imagine if I walked up to a person that's sitting lame, or a homeless person on the street that's lame or handicapped, or even a person in a wheelchair, and I said, get up and walk, and they didn't. Man, that would bring shame on me. That would bring shame on God. That would not be glorifying to God in any sort of way. And so, quite honestly, I wouldn't do that unless I was convinced that God was calling that to happen. That's what's happening here with Peter. As you'll see in this passage and in chapter 4, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit over and over again. God's Spirit is moving in him. And as Peter is walking into the temple that day, getting asked for money, God just kind of beep, 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 downloads it to his heart. Hey, this guy's going to get healed. And Peter's like, get up. And he does. That's so important for us to think about. Think about it. This man wasn't even asking to be healed. He was asking for money. He got way more than he bargained for that day, you know? Like, hey, can I have some money? Oh, no, we're just going to heal your 40-year-old illness. Oh, well, that's a good deal. I just wanted like 10 bucks, you know? It's awesome, like how God just over and above blesses this guy. He wasn't even praying for God to do this. I'm sure he wanted it, but he wasn't asking for it in that moment. Most times, selfishly, I confess that I want God to do signs and wonders because I want to be wowed, you know? I want to be wowed by God. I want God to prove it to me that you're really God. How did Jesus react when people said that to him? In fact, there were several times in the New Testament where Jesus was healing and doing signs and wonders, and somebody would say, show us a sign, teacher. And almost every time they did that, Jesus said, no. The only sign you're going to see is the sign of Jonah, which meant his resurrection. Why would he say that? Because Jesus never did any miracle or any of those signs if it wasn't in his Father's will. He always was in line with what his Father wanted him to do. And that's why he would pray to his Father, Father. And he would demonstrate his power. Often God's signs and wonders are not an end to the story. They are, and many times, they're a launching point for something else. They always have a point and a purpose behind them. And in this case, you'll see in a moment what they happened, what did. It's amazing. In fact, I've heard some people who have the gift of healing. Now, I don't pretend to understand that because I don't know that I have that gift. But there are certain people, when they pray for people to get healed, God, for whatever reason, says yes more than he says no. I don't know why, but he does. But they will say, well, you know what? He doesn't answer every time. We can't predict it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But when it is going to happen, it's like we just know. What is that? That's the Spirit of God. Just impressing on their heart that this is going to happen at this moment. Maybe you've experienced that at times where you just felt like God was speaking to you, that he wanted to say something or do something. That's how God's Spirit impresses on our heart to do. And so we better be in tune with God's Spirit and be praying and prayed up all the time. Because God has his plans and because he has his purposes and because he has his power, we should not be surprised when he does stuff. That's exactly what Peter says next in verse 12. When Peter saw this, he said to them, they were astonished, they were amazed. He says, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? I love that question. Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? I'm not a super person. I'm just Peter. It's not my godliness. It's not my moral standing. And that's so huge for power. It's not about you. It's not about your goodness or your abilities. It's about God's power in you. And so Peter begins to say, it was God the Father. It was God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in verse 13, 14, and 15. And verse 16, he says this, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. So he is saying, don't be surprised. If it was my power, you should be surprised. But because it's God's power, don't be surprised. This is what God does. He does this. He heals people. He demonstrates his power over nature. Why? Because he made it. God made nature and the natural laws, and so he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And in some sense, according to Peter, it seems like we should expect him to do it, right? Don't be surprised. You should expect God to do things from time to time if they are in his will and his plans. And Peter goes on to say, friends, I understand. Maybe you were ignorant before in verse 17. I understand you acted in ignorance. Many of these people had been involved in the crucifixion of Jesus. They had been ignorant of that, and they had been forcing Jesus to be crucified. And these were the crucify him people that Peter is speaking to right now. You might have acted in ignorance before, but now that you know who Jesus is and what he has done and the power of his name, repent and believe. Verse 19, he says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. I love that line. And that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. So his challenge to this ignorant crowd that didn't believe in Jesus, even called for his crucifixion, he says, now that you know, repent and believe. Repent and believe. God always honors faith. God has always honored faith. That's always his MO. And so Peter uses this opportunity of this healing of this man, and now he's just like, all right, I'm going to preach the gospel and just unload on you the truth of who God is and what he's done for you. And what Peter's message is that signs and wonders, it didn't come from me, and salvation itself doesn't come from you. None of it is about us. It is all about God's power in us by faith. This is what Jesus said in John 6. What is the work that God wants for us to be saved? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he has sent. Believe. So if you are not saved, it's because you don't believe. And sometimes faith can be a reason why God doesn't work. In fact, Jesus in Matthew chapter 13 said it like this, and he did not do many miracles there, his hometown, because of their lack of faith. Oh, that we may repent and believe so that God would act. In fact, Jesus goes into a house of a man named Jairus. Jairus was an official who had a daughter who was very sick. And Jesus comes in, and many of the people there thought she was already dead, and they're mourning and crying, and Jesus shows up at Jairus' house, and all the people are, and Jesus is like, why are you crying? She's just asleep. And, you know, cue the laugh track. What are you talking about, Jesus? And Jesus just is like, get out. He just kicks all these people out. And he and his disciples come into the room, and he says, Talitha cum, which means little girl, get up. And he raises this girl. Was she dead? I think so. Or was she asleep? I don't know. Either way, it didn't matter. Jesus displayed the power of God. God always honors our faith. Pray in faith. Pray confident that God can do what he says he can do. You see this in the illustration of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Maybe you're not familiar with that story in Daniel. I love their prayer because they're not presuming that God will answer their prayer, but they're praying in faith. In fact, they stand before the king Nebuchadnezzar. They're about to be thrown into the fiery furnace for not bowing down to this idol because it was against what God wanted for them. And so they say to the king Nebuchadnezzar, they say, King, the Lord can and will save us. And even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to you. And so they are so confident in faith, and they're saying, I don't know if God's going to answer this prayer, but I believe he can, and I believe he will if he wants to, and so we're not going to bow down to you. And God honored their faith. God honored their faith. In fact, he was there with him in the furnace. So whether he saves you from the furnace or whether he goes into the furnace with you, God will honor your faith as you pursue him. And if you pursue him in faith, God will honor him. And this should be encouraging to us, church, that if you believe, if you trust in God, man, he loves it when his people believe in him and trust in him. Let's seek him by faith. What happens if we do that? We begin to live in the power of God. So live, church, live in the power of God, by God's power. What happens next is astounding because Peter finishes his sermon. I wish this happened every time I preached. He finishes his sermon and like 5,000 people get saved, right? Actually, 5,000 men. Doesn't even talk about the women or children, which is probably another 10,000 maybe. So he finishes his sermon. He preaches. Tons of people get saved. A huge disturbance erupts because some people don't like that they were talking about Jesus. And a lot of people, you know, they just killed him a few months ago. And so they're not happy about this. And they arrest Peter and John because they're the ones causing this disturbance. They're the ringleaders. And this is what they say to them in verse 7. They bring them out into the courts and they say this. They say this in Acts chapter 4, 7. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? This is getting good. By what power, which is the word dunamis, or what name did you do this thing that you're claiming? Then Peter, what does it say? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. So he's setting up his claim. If you're really going to persecute us because we healed a guy who was lame for 40 years, and now you want to know why we did it or how we did it, let me tell you. And then he says, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Yeah, Peter. You know what I'm saying? Imagine if I was there, I was like, yeah, woo! You know, get him. Peter is just going off on these dudes. He's just telling them the truth. Now, sidebar for a minute. This is Peter we're talking about. Like 2 months ago, Peter was at this fire, and he's like warming himself by this fire, and this little slave girl says, hey, you were with him. And Peter's like, no, right? 2 months ago, he's running from a girl, a little tiny girl, because she saw him with Jesus. And then she sees him later at the gate, and she says, you were with him, I know it. No, I wasn't. And then the last guy comes and says, you were with Jesus, and he calls down curses on himself. And the rooster crows twice, and he leaves weeping. This is the same guy. What happened? What happened to Peter and John that he's coming out guns blazing with this? I'll tell you what happened. The Spirit of God came upon him and just exploded all up in there and drastically changed him. That is a wonder from God. I'll tell you a sign and wonder. A guy who's timid running from a girl is now standing before officials and saying, you killed Jesus and he healed this guy, and bam, mic drop, right? That's happening because the Spirit of God injected into Peter's life, and Peter was different because of it. And you can be too. That's the power that God has revealed. Recognizing this undeniable miracle, these guys are like, well, what are we going to do? Guy's clearly healed. Everybody knows it. And there's like thousands of people here who will kill us if we do anything. So they just let Peter and John go, but they give him one more warning. In verse 18, wonder how this is going to go. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. I wonder what Peter's going to say to this one. Actually, this time John speaks up too, and I don't know if they said this in unison or they both just yelled it out. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? These are God-fearing men, so they would have known the obvious answer is listen to God, not you. And as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And they went out proclaiming with boldness. When God's power moves in us through his Holy Spirit, boldness comes out. Courage comes out. In fact, in verse 13, these men are so astonished. Sorry, I skipped over that. But verse 13 is a huge verse. And this is what they say in verse 13. They were astonished. They saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. These are just fishermen. These are just, what are these guys? These guys don't even speak very much. They're dum-dums. And they were astonished that they took note of these men, that they had been with Jesus. Man, could that be said about us? Oh, man, I want that to be said of me. That people are like, you know what? I don't even know what's gotten into this person. They're not themselves anymore. It's like they used to be this weak, timid person, but like once that Jesus guy got a hold of them, it was like, whew, they just took off. That's the power of God in you. That's the power of God in you. So live like you need God's power, church. I read this quote as I was preparing this message from Henry Blackaby, and this was kind of that gut punch I need. Maybe, why does God not show his power? Why do I not have this? Well, I think Blackaby's right on. He wrote the book, Experiencing God, and he says, Holy Spirit doesn't need to equip you for what you're not going to do. Yeah, collective. The Holy Spirit doesn't need to equip you for what you're not going to do. So if you're in rebellion against Jesus and refusing his right to be Lord, whatever he's commanding you, he doesn't need to send the Holy Spirit to equip you for service. And tragically, you miss out on all the joy that he brings. So let the Holy Spirit deal with anything that is keeping you from obeying Christ and do exactly what Peter said. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. And see what God does as you follow him and ask him for his power to fill you and inject into your life. And so my challenge to you this morning, my application for you this morning, church, is the very same thing they did when the church heard Peter and John's story. What did they do? They prayed. Pray for God's missional power to be revealed in us. That's exactly what the church in the first century did. On their release, verse 23, Peter and John went back to their own people. They went back to their church and reported all the things the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, the first thing they did was pray. They raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. This is Psalm 2 they're quoting. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. And Psalm 2 says it's all pointless because God is the ruler of all. Indeed, verse 27, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They tried to stop you, but I love verse 28. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand would already happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak the word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through your name of your holy servant Jesus. And as they prayed, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Can you imagine if that happened right here, right now? That we as the church prayed like that? There's a few things you can learn from their prayer, and I'll just point them out to you. Number one is allow God's Spirit to lead you. Allow God's Spirit to lead you. They see Peter and John's story. They see what Peter and John are doing. And when they see the Holy Spirit leading in this way, they jump on it. It's that first point there. Can we throw that up there? Allow God's Spirit to lead you, the Holy Spirit. Why doesn't God answer? Why doesn't God answer our prayers? Well, perhaps you might want to start with where God is actually moving already. Pray in accordance with God's purposes. Then you might see him do more with a lot less. Henry Blackaby, I quoted him earlier, says this, watch and see where God is working and join him. Instead of asking, what do I want God to do for me? Ask God, what do you want to do in me and through me? How do you want to display your power? I'm open. Whatever you want, I'm game. Let's do this. And just go for it. God, what are you leading me to do today? I want to share a cool story of one of our own who attends this service. I don't think he's here today. He's driving truck, but I actually talked to him earlier this morning. It's Andy Hatt. He's in H10, and he's also in this service with us, but he's not here today. But he gave me permission to share this story. So Andy listened to the service last week, Pastor Matt sharing about praying for God's power to be revealed, and it was just convicting to him, and so he started to do that. And Andy drives truck, and so he was driving truck this week. This is just this week, okay? And he's driving truck, and he drives past an exit on his way where he remembers a friend that lives on that exit. And for whatever reason, God just like, I don't know if it was, he just felt like there was this compulsion to call his friend. He hadn't talked to him for months. He's like, I just feel like I need to call him, but he didn't. He kind of just drove past. You ever done that? Drove past. But on his return trip, he drove back by the same exit again. There that feeling came right back. Call him. He just felt like he needed to call him. And wasn't sure if it was God just telling him or not. And so he just picked up the phone and dialed his friend DJ. And so he calls his friend DJ, and you'll never believe what happened. So he's talking to DJ, and he finds out that DJ had just recently been diagnosed with multiple brain tumors. He's a young guy. He just had recently gotten multiple brain tumors in his head, and just that morning had been contemplating suicide. This is a believer, DJ. And he said, the only reason I didn't was because of my wife and my faith. But it was really scary because I don't know that I'm going to be able to go through this. And God just prompted Andy to call his brother and pray with him right there. And I asked Andy if I could share that with you, and he said, yeah, more people praying for DJ, the better. So pray for DJ, church. Pray for DJ. I'm just going to pray for him right now, if that's okay. God, I just pray for DJ right now. Lord, I don't know what you want to do in him, but I just pray for his heart that you would comfort him, that you would free him from the suicidal thoughts, that you would free him from any anxiety and depression that he's feeling and doubt, and cause faith to rise up in his heart that he might trust you. Lord, I'm confident that you will heal him one day. I know, God, that you will heal all your children. One day we will be with you forever. So every prayer for healing will be answered, God. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And so, God, I'm confident you will heal him of these tumors. There's no tumors in heaven. There's no cancer in heaven. But, God, if you would pour out your healing power upon him right now, would you do that? Would you pour that out just because of your grace? I don't pretend to know all your purposes, Lord. And I humbly accept whatever your plan is, however you want to do that, now or later. God, would you just pour out your love upon DJ right now? Hear the prayers of your people, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Allow God's Spirit to lead you, and it can open up some really, really amazing opportunities that you didn't even know were there. Pray confidently. Pray confidently. Pray confidently that you know God's plans are unshakable. The very first words out of the church's mouth was, Sovereign Lord, you are in control of all things. You create. You speak life into existence. You can and will do anything, anytime, anywhere that you want, and no one can thwart you. So remember who you're praying to and pray confidently that he can do it. But it helps to know a little truth. Know that God will heal everyone eventually. Every believer will be healed eventually. God promises to give us a new body one day. And there's no spine injuries, and there's no brain injuries, and there's no sickness and cancer in heaven. And so in his heavenly kingdom, you will be healed. And so when we pray for healing, every single prayer for healing will be answered. Everyone. It's not a matter of if, it's when. And so when we pray confidently, because you know it's going to be answered. It's just a matter of if, or it's just a matter of when. Are you going to answer it now, God? That'd be awesome. Would you do that? And if you see fit to do something else that I don't understand, I'm going to trust you and pray confidently in that. But pray according to God's purposes. Pray according to God's purposes, knowing that God is working his ways and doing what he wants. And look no further than the church's example in verse 27 and 28. They say, you worked through Pontius Pilate and Herod and all those heathens that were trying to kill Jesus, many of which just got saved, right? You worked through all those people. And that what looked like the worst possible scenario of the Son of God being crucified and hung up and strung up to die, you use that to save the world. Anyone who would believe in him, God, you use the worst circumstance. And if you can do that, then we're going to trust your purpose and plans are way better than we could imagine. And so they pray in accordance with God's will and his purposes. We know this was your plan beforehand, and we trust you. Believers in Christ, trust the purposes of God. Pray in accordance with his purposes. Don't ignore that suffering sometimes is part of his purpose. Sometimes God says no to healing, and it has a purpose behind it. Sometimes God says wait, and it has a purpose behind it. Trust him. Doesn't mean you shouldn't ask. Just trust him. Pray for the right heart. Ask for the right stuff. Pray for the right heart. They ask for boldness. Signs and wonders they ask for in verse 30, but that's not really the agenda. They say, God, give us boldness to speak for you. Give us a new heart that is bold for you, like Peter and John. We want that in us too, God. And he answers it. God overwhelmingly blesses them in verse 31 with this boldness. We don't even hear about the signs and wonders that they do. All we know is that the boldness comes because they asked. And pray big, church. Pray big. Pray big. Jesus says, you have not because you ask not. They prayed big in verse 30. They said, confirm your word with signs and wonders. Stretch out your hand to heal. God, would you heal the illnesses? Would you bring your kingdom, which is in heaven, to bear on the earth right now? Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Remember who you're talking to. Of course, God loves to give good gifts to his children. He's always going to give you the best thing for you. And so pray for God to give you that. If you're wanting healing this morning, I invite you to come down and pray at the end of the service. If you're wanting relief from some emotional or spiritual struggle in your life, come down and we'll pray for you. We'll pray for God to manifest his power in your life. And if he wants to heal you right now, great. If he wants to heal you on the spot like he did to that beggar, awesome. If he doesn't, we're going to trust that he's going to manifest his power in a different way, and it's going to be awesome. Either way, we'll pray. And just rejoice in that, church. You can trust him. Let this be an opportunity for us to exercise our faith. Let's not be little faiths. Let's trust him. Pray big. Pray bold. God's power might not always show itself the way you expect, but it will always be for your good and for his glory. Always guarantee it. Rubber stamp it. We don't know what will happen, but that should not deter us from asking, because we are confident something will happen when we pray. Let's pray together. God, I pray right now that you would work miraculous signs and wonders in your church. I don't know what that means, Lord. I don't pretend to know. Maybe that means you give someone in this room a boldness that they have never, ever had, and it doesn't even come natural to their personality, but you unleash the Spirit in them in a way that is unstoppable. God, do that. Maybe it's someone who needs healing here this morning, Lord. If you want to unleash your power and compassion upon them, Lord, I pray you do that. You can do signs and wonders. We thank you for that. We believe it, Lord. We repent of our ignorance and our unbelief, and we believe and trust you. God, stretch out your hand and perform mighty acts. Give your servants boldness to proclaim your work. Give us this missional power to see your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.